The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. They'll let you know. Peters on the roll. Looking for the end zone, throwing, it's caught! Daniel Barker, touchdown!
In the end zone, it is caught! Casey Washington's got it! Illinois pulled off the upset!
Welcome into the Armchair Illini Podcast Twitter Space Edition. We're just wanting to chat about Illinois' 38-6 win over Wyoming. I had the pleasure of being at the game today, which was super cool. My wife and I went and had a great time. It was very hot, and I'm feeling the effects of it right now, but hanging in there, and you know, we're on our way back currently. So I'm curious for y'all who watched it on TV how the game felt in the stadium. It was pretty cool to have it wrapped up by the fourth quarter. You know, people were kind of trickling out by then, and but yeah, any big takeaways from the game today?
I think for me, it was just, I think the first half was very, I don't want to say spotty, but it was a lot of, obviously, like the first game jitters and first game rust.
Yeah.
I think you and I were kind of shooting back and forth where it was like, come on, like that's a pretty easy play. You know, DeVito missed some pretty simple throws. I thought there were some drops, things like that. But obviously the defense looked really good, but I don't think they were up against any legitimate offense. So it's hard to really take anything too much away from it. I think they did their job, but it was against lesser competition. So obviously it's hard to take a huge takeaway. Offense, I think, has some work to do, clearly. You can't just hand it off to Chase Brown the entire time. So it's good to see a lot of the receivers get involved, but offense, you know, I think left a little bit more to be desired, to be honest, outside of Chase Brown. But overall, you know, anytime you get a good win, a pretty stressless win, that's I'll take.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like you, when halftime came and felt like Illinois should have been leading by a lot more than they were, you know, they converted a fourth down, a big fourth and one, and then had a holding penalty or a legal block in the back. I can't remember which one it was at that time. That kind of killed the drive, and then they got back in field goal position, and kicker missed it, and then you had another missed field goal towards the end of the first half. It just felt like there were a lot of missed opportunities left on the field, some dumb penalties. A couple I disagreed with, just the celebration penalties are stupid. But
yeah, why can't you spike a ball?
Yeah, it's so dumb. So dumb. But
was it just as dumb in the stands as it was on TV?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you could feel it. Especially the Chase Brown one. Like, you know, it was the second play of the game. You scored a touchdown. Crowd's rocking. Like, just let it go, man. I don't know. But maybe it looked
different. It's not like he danced or anything.
Yeah. But I'm glad the second half went the way it did. I, at halftime, was feeling very lukewarm to negative on Tommy DeVito. I just thought he wasn't giving you anything more than what you had last year. I feel like it just looked the same. Josh McCray, who got hurt, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and Chase Brown, who's obviously a stud. But anytime he was asked to make a throw, it was always like, well, I'll see how this is going to go, I guess. But I thought he played a lot better in the second half, had a couple nice passes.
package, which I probably want out of him, given that we know how this offense is probably going to roll week in, week out. But if he can make a couple passes that, you know, maybe 20 yards downfield every once in a while. Just to stretch the field a little bit.
You're kind of cutting in and out, but
I'm in the middle of nowhere in Indiana, so.
Yeah, you're good though. No, yeah, but I think your main points got out. It's just interesting because Chase Brown got called for the penalty, but then Daniel Barker like twerked against Penn State. I don't think he got a penalty, so that's pretty interesting. It's like the same thing. I think I tweeted it out about the RJ Melendez thing.
Yeah.
But I know, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was interesting to see that they didn't really take. Obviously, they had like that one at the end of the first half, but they didn't have DeVito take any big shots. I don't know if that was sort of by design or just didn't want to sort of ruin his confidence or anything like that. But they didn't really let him go for a deep bomb. I think I was listening to some of the 247 stuff, and then it seemed like they maybe were thinking about trying to sort of hide the playbook a little bit in case Indiana – you know, is watching, and you don't have to reveal too much. Obviously, you're going to beat Wyoming regardless, hopefully. So maybe they were kind of holding back on the playbook, but I do think in the second half, everyone got a little bit more comfortable. It was pretty worrisome to see, you know, Isaiah obviously get carted, but it seems like he's fine. And then Josh McCray also getting carted off. So I think that probably might be a couple weeks, but, you know, Chase Brown is a stud. That's enough said.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like we got another speaker on here, so if you want to go ahead and give your thoughts on the game, go ahead.
RP, you were at the game, right?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, I was at the game. 1-0, baby. It feels good. But no, my thoughts on offense, like, we looked good. DeVito looked good. DeVito did not hit the ground at all. Chase Brown looked good. The receivers were actually pretty good as well. I mean, Hightower had some catches. Casey Washington had some catches. Pat Bryan had some catches. Tight ends, Tip Ryman had a catch. You know, so they all looked good. Defense, like, the secondary was excellent. Like, none of their receivers were getting open. They were all locked up. Our pass rush was really bad. Their quarterback also did not really get hit at all. So that's a little concerning, maybe something we need to look at.
That guy was awful.
Yeah, he was so bad. But he had no pressure on him, and he still sucked, you know. So that's concerning for them. But yeah, I wish we could have gotten a sack or something in there. Special teams, our punter's really good. Hugh Robertson had some booming kicks. The field goal game has to improve a little bit. The 51 yarder he had was like not even close. Like, it was pathetically off, you know. And it, you know, it's easy to say like, oh, the kicker needs to get better, but you know, it's really all three: long snapper, holder, kicker. Like, there's a lot of timing and, you know, things like that that kind of goes into it. So like, just watching, it's hard to tell, you know, who's not, you know, holding up their end. But that definitely needs to be improved. And penalties, we had some dumb penalties in the first half. But those got cleaned up in the second half. But no, great game, you know. We played a team that we were better than, and we kicked their ass, right? Like, we did what we were supposed to do. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Good game. Feels good to be 1-0. And yeah, Indiana on Friday. Let's get it.
Yeah, man. I was also curious, how was your game day experience? You know, how was like tailgating, pregame experience, all that?
It was fun. There were lots of people out there tailgating and stuff. So that's really great to see. All the frats and stuff were out there as well. So that's pretty cool. Back when I was in school, block was the fun thing to go to. And I hated block, right? Because everybody went to Joe's instead of going to the game. Oh, and I guess another thing that I'll mention in terms of game day experience, Block Eye showed up at the beginning of the game, Like Block I was more full than it had ever been when I was there.
Agreed.
Everywhere else was not. Everywhere else, the showing was pathetic. So that's kind of sad. And another thing that's also kind of sad is after halftime, most of Block I left. So that kind of sucked too. I'd really like for our like school culture to kind of change a little bit to support our football team a little more. And hopefully that comes with maybe some winning. But that was, you know, it was nice to see all the students show up at the beginning, but it was kind of disappointing to see over half of them leave at halftime.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, like, obviously the Block I, like you said, there's a lot that we could talk about. Honestly, we should dedicate a whole episode to trying to figure out how to make it better. But going to Block, I think we were probably in school around the same time because Block was, I hated it because, one, it was super early, and then no one wanted to go to the game. And I was, like, the only person there that was trying to go to the game. So that's why I hated that. But then I think in terms of the attendance, it's gotten better. Honestly, today was probably all of my Illini football games in 4 years as an undergrad combined into just one attendance, because when I was there, there would literally be, like, 20 people in there, and half the people would be, like, asleep, too. So I think it's getting better, but I don't know. I just think even if we do have a little bit of success, the culture has just shifted a lot. You know, you look at some of the other schools that kind of struggle with attendance, like Maryland, you know, I think Rutgers kind of struggles with it. You know, it's got to get to a place where it's like, you know, we're good for a couple years and then, you know, people kind of get interested. If you look at like University of Kentucky, you know, primarily a basketball school, but, you know, once they get really, really, really damn good, they get a pretty good environment. So I think it's going to be still quite some time. Obviously, you know, it's going to take a couple years to consistently win like 7 or 8 games, but man, it's just, it stinks to see because, you know, you see the basketball environment, you're just like, why can't you just kind of bring it out here? Like football should be a lot more enjoyable. And I think it's like, it's tough for a lot of alumni to come down, which might be it too, but, yeah, man, it sucks to see sometimes.
Yeah. I think the, for the Block I, you know, the student section, as I mentioned, you know, they kind of left after halftime, but a lot of people in our section left after halftime too. I think a lot of that was like heat related. There wasn't a ton of shade in the student section and it was just really, really hot under the sun. So I'm sure some of that was due to heat. I'm sure there was some of it that people just leaving after halftime or whatever, but man, yeah, it was, if you were not in the shade, it was a scorcher. So
I just hope that like the next good environment that we get, I think we were just talking about it, like the UTSA game last year, we had a decent turnout. The North Carolina game in Lovie's first year too, that was kind of a disappointing moment because you had a sellout crowd and then you can really put the cap on it. So I think next time that we do get a good environment, I really just hope that it's a good showing and it's a win, because I don't even think like a good environment with like a close loss would even do anything at this point. So you really have to pull off an upset, like do what you did against Wisconsin and like a really good crowd. Like that's one of the things that you kind of have to do, and you have to do it multiple times, I feel like. So I know that's a tough ask, but I feel like that's what's probably had to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, what we were talking before we officially started, like, thought the crowd was into it at the beginning, and then after the missed field goal, I think things started to get a little tense, and then obviously after halftime, they pulled away. So, you know.
You said he missed it by 20 yards.
That's what it felt like in a stadium. It felt like he missed it as soon as he kicked it, which was tough. But, you know, we had a Wyoming beat writer on this week, and he predicted that it'd be like a 4-7 point game. So I kind of went in expecting a close-ish game and was pleasantly surprised by the end result. So.
Yeah, I think, excuse me, but I think he probably expected a little bit more from that quarterback. I don't think they had any rhythm. I mean, like RPD was saying, there wasn't much pressure. It was, or maybe that was by design to sort of just stack the box. But, man, that was just a really bad quarterback play. And I don't know if that was a sort of a mix of the defense and the quarterback just sucking, but all good. RPD, where are you driving to?
I am driving to St. Louis, so that's where I made the trip from.
Oh man, so are you almost there?
I'll probably get there at around 10 o'clock, so like an hour 15 or so. It's about a 2 hour 45 minute drive, so not super bad for like a day trip.
Yeah. Do you have any other plans to go back to any other games or?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to as many as I can. These Saturday 3 o'clock starts are actually really convenient because it works out perfectly for a day trip. Probably the next one I'll try to go to Virginia. We'll see. A lot of the game times for the Big Ten schedule have not really been released yet. So.
True, yeah. I think the Virginia one would be a good one because I think that's like back when you know, everyone's back on campus, kind of established, and hopefully by that time we're 2-0. But I think that's like another thing. How long's the drive from St. Louis?
About 2 hours 45 minutes. It's like 170-ish miles. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, dang. Do you ever go to basketball games?
I haven't been to a basketball game since I graduated. So it's also a goal of mine to try to make it to a basketball game. But those are kind of tougher, right? Because they're all evening games, or most of them are evening games, and they're not necessarily always on Saturdays.
Yeah, they're like Tuesday night or something.
Yeah, but yeah. I will say, like, for basketball games, it's easier to figure out a hotel situation, whereas hotels on football weekends are impossible or way overpriced. Yeah. You know,
and it's so weird because, like, the attendance is, like, kind of swapped, but...
I don't get it either. But you know, you also don't, Champaign doesn't seem to have a lot of like hotels, so all the good ones get booked real quick, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think like the iHotel goes fast, and then there's like one or that one hotel on Green, and then like the Union Hotel, but like I'm not trying to stay at the Union.
Yeah, the Union Hotel is also not very nice at all.
It's like actually what you like would expect living at the Union would be like.
Yeah, right. Kind of it's like some, yeah, it's like one of the, it's like living in one of the dorms.
Yeah, it's like Snyder or something.
Yeah.
When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2017.
Oh yeah, same here. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, we witnessed some bad teams during our time.
Yeah, man. Jesus Christ. I remember my first one was, like, against Ohio State, and it was, like, I think it was our freshman year, and then there was, like, 100 people there. It was, like, rainy, and I was, like, why am I even here?
Yeah, right?
it was
brutal. Yep.
Yeah, and then first basketball game, I was, like, It was like a decent environment. I actually really liked the environment, but I mean, it was like, God, we just lost by like 20 to Indiana or something.
So. Our freshman year, our basketball team was actually not that bad. They made it to the round of 32 when they lost to Miami, I want to say.
Okay.
Was that year?
I think that was the year before I got on campus. It was like 2013. I remember my freshman year, it was like, we lost like 8 in a row or something. And then we were like on the bubble. And then we were on the bubble like pretty much 3 out of the 4 years and then just never made it. And then senior year, I just remember watching like the Rutgers game where like the buzzer beater happened. And then I was walking to class and then I checked my phone and then Michigan was like up like 30 after they like nearly crashed their plane.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate this school.
Yeah, losing was rough, man. But I'm pretty optimistic. I think we've sort of found the answers in Whitman and Bielema and Underwood and all them guys. Like, they've kind of given us a reason to get excited again and want to go back and things like that. So good on them, you know.
Yeah, honestly, I think, you know, Bielema, he has kind of like an Underwood feel to it.
Very much so. Yep.
That, like, okay, it's not there now, but it's like that same feeling where it's like the guy knows what he's doing, but he's just, it's just a very tough situation. Because I remember Underwood was like 14-18 his second year, and it was like looking pretty bleak. So I think, you know, eventually it'll be decent. I mean, he took the same team Lovey had. He went like 2-8 or something, and then went like 5-7, and should have exactly. Went like 7-5. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it makes fully sense that Bielema is building something, and he knows what he's doing, and he's also building like a really good coaching staff too. You know, like they had who was the offensive coordinator last year? He had an offensive coordinator. Yep, Tony Peterson, and it was like so clear that hey, you know, I understand that we don't have the skill, but this is not working out. And you let him go, right? And you go get somebody else, go get somebody that you're more comfortable with and familiar with. And honestly, I liked what I saw out of the offense today. So he's willing to change, willing to adapt. That's huge,
I think he's,
you know?
I think he just he has like an urgency, which Lovey never had. Lovey, like, you know, literally kept going with the same things that weren't working. So I appreciate that about him. And he's like you said, pretty adaptable, much like Brad was. So I think the offense has a little bit of a ways to go. I mean, I think DeVito was okay. I do know that, like, you know, it was his first game in probably a couple years, you know, nerves getting it all together in the game. But I wanted more for some reason. So we'll see how it goes against Indiana. It's a quick turnaround for them. You know, it's a must-win game. This is a very, very important game. And, you know, hopefully Josh McCray's injury isn't long-term. Yep. And then hopefully Isaiah Williams is okay. I think he is. I think it was just cramps. But I think the offensive line needs another game to kind of gel together. You know, they weren't great for as much as we kind of hyped up Palcheski and you know, the JUCO guys and Julian Pearl. I think Julian Pearl did pretty well, but, you know, I think those two sort of parts, and then the defensive line needs to get more pressure on the quarterbacks because, you know, that's pretty important. So we'll see how it goes. You know, Friday's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, Indiana is also, like, they do not project to be very good. So a loss to Indiana would definitely be a bad loss. Like, there is no worthy loss to a team like Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana, I mean, they just have ugly jerseys. They're still Adidas, you know. I don't know anyone. Like, their football recruiting is probably worse than ours, to be honest. So we got to beat them. I mean, we'll try to preview it next week with the writer from Indiana and see. But you have to win that game because, like, we were talking about it this week. You have to go 4-0. 3-1 at the very worst. You can't go 2-2, you know. So
true. Yep.
You absolutely need this game. So
because you even think about it, last year they started 2-5, right? Like, they really, I mean, finished strong, but they really had a slow start, and that could have been the difference to like make a bowl game, right? And
yeah, yeah.
Got to take advantage of the easy games as you have them scheduled.
Yeah, and you know, just build a rhythm before you play. You know, like Wisconsin, Iowa. You don't want to get, like, spanked and then have to be like, okay, well, you know, let's get things together. So the Indiana game is a must-win game. I think the Virginia game, depending on the Indiana result, you know, you probably should win that game too. But I think I'm more worried about the Virginia game than the Indiana game, just because, I mean, Indiana doesn't, like you said, project to be that good, but you never know. So we'll be watching. I just feel like because it's on a Friday night, like, it's just going to be randomly stressful. I'm just going to get pissed off. And then, like, I feel like Friday night games always just never go well. Like, even with basketball.
Yeah. I wish they would just play on Saturday. Like, just get in the Saturday afternoon rhythm, you know?
Like. Yeah. Like, why do we have to do these, like, weird Friday night games?
Do they have a Thursday night game this year?
For some reason, I feel like they do, but I'm not sure if they do. Like, if they
I feel like I saw that somewhere on the schedule.
Maybe that was the spring game where it was Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
But because that would be even more out of left field. So
yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, the Friday night, I'm not that big a fan. It's like those what's it called? Like weekday afternoon, like basketball games or something, or like the ones that like tip at like 8:30.
Yeah, it's so, just weird, awkward timing. Yeah,
definitely. But all right, I think that's a good stopping point for us. We'll definitely do another space. Thanks for joining, man. I appreciate you coming on while you're driving.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for hosting. Thanks for doing this.
Of course, man. Always. Hopefully, we'll have a bigger turnout as the season goes. We're getting back into the swing of things, so. Yeah, I think that's a good stopping point for all of you who joined. Thanks for joining. We'll be back probably either Monday or Tuesday just to preview the IU game. The IU game kind of throws us off a little bit because it's on a Friday night. So, but either way, we'll have a lot of content coming. If you guys are going, SeatGeek, Pug, use our code Armchair Illinois, $20 off. And then check out our site. We got a lot of great things. And we'll do another space with likely an Indiana person. To help us preview this must-win game. So thanks again for those of you guys that decided to listen. We'll catch you guys soon.
The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.